Access all areas with Joanna Shimonides and Stephen Lang on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome everyone to another at-home edition of Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio. I am Stephen Lang.
And I'm Joanna Shimonides. Hope everyone is well, and welcome back.
Welcome
How
back.
How have you been, Stephen?
Good, same old, same old. Nothing new to report. No, I went to go see my family last weekend. That was super nice.
Cute. How was it?
Yeah, it was good. It was nice just to feel a bit normal. Also to get out of London for a day. I don't know if technically I'm actually really allowed to do it, but I did anyway. We did maintain social distancing most of the time, so we've done all the stuff we're supposed to.
Love that. And how did your mum feel when you turned up?
Well, she was very surprised. She was mostly shocked that I'd caught her without any makeup on. Seems odd for a mother to say to her son. I was like, why would I care? I didn't give a shit. But it was actually super sweet. Because I haven't seen my mum since Christmas, so it's quite a long time to not see your family.
I think I've not seen mine since January, I think, as well. So it's been quite a while. So hopefully I'll go see her soon. But I'm just, I'm just scared to just mingle with people.
Of course, yeah. And because they've just announced earlier this week that distance measures have changed, haven't they?
So is it going down to one?
1 meter plus is apparently the thing. So it's try and be 2 meters, but if you can't, 1 meter is going to be fine.
Is that a 1 meter just walking past someone in a supermarket? I don't understand what 1 meter is.
I would say it's about the length of my arm.
Okay, yeah. Right. Well, I can maybe go on a social distance date then, if that's the case.
Yeah, just don't get too up close and personal to them if you like them a lot.
I'll just be like, we'll be like this, E.T., the finger thing, just like that from a distance.
Staring into each other's eyes.
Oh God, no, cringe.
How are you feeling about that? Because obviously you've probably been one of the best people out of anyone I know. You've been sticking to the rules quite well.
I have been so good. And obviously, when they said you're allowed up to six people, obviously, social distancing as well. I went and saw my friends. We went to a park. We sat all together, obviously, a bit of a distance as well from each other. And it was so nice. I mean, we had, I think, six bottles of, alcohol, and it was all gone, and we were absolutely fine after. And I really thought...
Really?
I mean, we've all gone without drinking for a while, and I thought, we're going to be absolutely pissed, but we were fine. So that was brilliant.
That's really good.
Just so nice to have just, human interaction and just be around my mates, because I absolutely miss them so much. So, but I've been really good, and that's why I don't mind doing that now, because I know that I have been really, really good. And they, because my friends, I did not think they'd be this good as well. They've been really, really good with lockdown. So it was just nice seeing them.
Yeah, it just makes you just feel a bit more normal, doesn't it? How are you feeling about all the pubs and restaurants opening?
I mean, I'm excited to have. Well, yeah, I'm excited about it's like outside pubs and I like that. I'm happy with that, but I just still think it just defeats the purpose of I just don't understand how this is all working out. I'm just it's kind of, when I sit back, I think it's all actually doesn't even make sense.
Well, the point I think is that there's much less of the virus going around now, so the chances of you catching it are way less than they were in February. Because
Do you know what I think, though? I think, say someone was in work and then they went over, say when the pubs and stuff and beer gardens open up, and they go outside and they might brush against someone and then they may catch the virus, right? Then they go serve the person food at this outside bit, and then that person just catches it. And I just think it's just it's a bit too, I don't know. I'm just not a fan.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. But the point is that the chance that first person has it is much less than it was four or five months ago. Obviously it's still a risk because the virus still exists and is going around in the community, but hopefully it's not as bad as it was. And because we're not mixing in big, big numbers like football matches and concerts and things like that, which is tens of thousands of people, those are way worse from what I've read. Those kind of situations are way worse for it than just brushing past someone in the supermarket, because the chances are really slim.
But then I also think about public public transport and going to work. I mean, everyone's going to be rushing to get to work at the same time, and then it's going to be absolutely crowded. And there has been so many people in the news and stuff saying that these masks actually don't protect you from the virus.
No, so they don't protect you. But what happens is if you have the virus and don't know, for instance, you've got no symptoms, the mask will stop you from being able to breathe out the
particles.
The particles that could then lead someone else to catch it. So they basically catch the, I mean, it's like a right old drama and a right faff. But I do think that probably we won't be seeing a situation where everyone's going to be getting on the train at the same time to go to work. And everyone won't be, they'll be staggered arrival times at different places. True. People work, they won't, like, I certainly think my office, which is, they're talking roughly, it may be opening again in September, maybe, not even definite, that it will be like 25% of the workforce going in on any one day. So it's like, you haven't got the huge numbers that you have before. But to say all that, still a risk. And I think it's a bit nerve-wracking. If the numbers go up from when the pubs open and that. We'll see, won't we?
Oh, not another lockdown. Please, no, I can't deal with this. And if there is another one, I'm buying a house and I'm going, moving out and living on my own.
Get a little caravan for yourself, babes.
Love that. I'd be sitting out, I'd drive to like a nice little field and just sit there and, you know, do some meditation shit.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
I love it.
Meditation shit.
Meditation shit. But aside from that, my highlight of my week has been trying to look for hot tubs. I can't find them anywhere.
Why a hot tub?
Just a bit of fun, get a couple content pictures in them, you know. For these, I want the blow up one. They're between what, £300 to £600, £700. I'm asking around, and then people are saying like £7,000, and I'm like, excuse me, I want a blow up one.
There must be a way of surely you've got what is it, nearly 700,000 Instagram followers? Surely someone will give you a free hot tub.
Well, I think they're selling like hotcakes. I don't think they quite need any promotion right now because they're people are buying them left, right and centre.
Yeah, because they're just sitting in their gardens desperate to
Yeah, but then obviously there was that. Was it you that showed me that thing about someone talking about? I got sent this thing about. Who was it? I can't remember who it was. And they're talking about like poo particles in.
It was on this morning. Yeah. It's not the most sanitary or healthy of things, but you know, whatever.
I mean, if my dad tries to get in, I'm like, Dad, get out! Don't even bother. Wait.
Well, that is a very pleasant thing to think about, Joanna. Thanks for putting that to my mind.
No problem, honestly. That's why I'm debating getting in, but I think I'm going to in the end.
Fair one. Have you seen, we've obviously been like the Strictly show the last like 2 months. It's been like Strictly Professional after Strictly Professional. And apparently now Craig Revel-Horwood has said that the show is definitely coming back. So you will finally have the chance to actually watch the series.
Yes.
Because you won't be going anywhere else on a Saturday night. So
exactly. And because I think I've met them now, obviously virtually, I've met them. I think I'll actually enjoy watching it more because I'll be like, oh, I met that person. They're nice. And oh, that person's like a bit different there. Like,
well, you never know. You might be getting the call soon, Joanna, to sign up.
Oh, I mean, highly doubt it, but you never know. Never say never. But I feel like, you know, I'm a sucker for a boy who can dance, a boy who can sing. So if there's any of them dancing on there, and I think, oh, you know, I might slide into his DMs.
Well, fair enough, babes. Is there any, well, I'm trying to think of the ones we've had. But most of them are in relationships. That's the problem.
Yeah, I'll just like watch and you know, dribble from a distance.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely going to be good if, like we've said before, it'd be good if it is back.
Yes, I agree. And more showbiz news, Maura and Chris rumoured to be in a relationship, and a week before also Maura and Michael rumoured to be in a relationship.
What do you think is happening here?
Well, I know that Chris lives with Michael and Jordan and that, so they're Maura's always there because they're all just friends. They're all like best mates. And I mean, I don't know if anything's gone down before, but I know that they're all just friends, and Maura and Chris especially are like best mates, like buddies.
Right.
Obviously, if Chris and Maura are together, I mean, that would be like one of the perfect couples because they actually get along so well. They're both silly. They're both like just like joke around all the time. And I think it'd be really cute. But aside from that, all I know is they all live together. Obviously, not Maura, but Chris and everyone live together. Mm. And Maura is known to be very close with them as friends. So
it's easy to kind of link them because they're seen together so often, I guess.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Do you have any insider information you can share?
I actually don't, funny enough. I mean, me and Maura were messaging the other day, but I'm not going to go out right and say, so what's been happening in your love life then?
Yeah, fair one. You don't want to get a reputation for yourself as being a gossip, do you?
Yeah, and like an information digger. But aside from that, I do know they are friends, so I'm not quite sure, you know, what's been going on, really.
Yeah, well, we actually have a Love Islander coming on the show today, don't we? We haven't said who's coming on.
Yes.
We have, first up, we have Janet Devlin, former X Factor singer.
Yes.
And she's just released some new music, so it'd be great to chat to her. We also have Biggs Chris.
I wonder, I feel like it's meant to be the other way around, Chris.
Because it's just the way it would normally look, isn't it? So yeah. he was on the Winter Love Island, wasn't he?
Yes, which is exciting to get talking with him. Because I actually met him when I came out of the villa.
Oh, did you?
Because he's actually friends with Anton. So I'd like to know if like him and Anton still speak as well. That'd be quite good to find out.
Yeah, definitely. And then finally, very excitingly, we have an actual Hollywood star on the show in the form of Matthew Morrison, formerly of Glee and What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Yes.
And well, it's now been cancelled, but the Greatest Dancer on the BBC, he's doing a little thing for CBeebies, so great to talk to him about that coming up. So yes, yeah,
definitely
exciting times.
Quite a few exciting people, which I'm excited about.
Just a little warning on our interview with Janet, she does talk about some sensitive issues about her mental health and suicide, so just keep that in mind when you're listening. I believe we have our first guest, Janet, ready to come in now.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Really good. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Your hair looks incredible.
I was just about to say that. It's amazing. Is your hair naturally curly or is that like sort of mousse, gel?
It's naturally like quite flat, but curly. This is all like an illusion of like blow drying it upside down and torturing it.
Is that a diffuser? Do you use a diffuser on your hair?
No. Diffuser would make the curls like not frizzy, whereas the frizz makes people look at it and go, oh yeah, of course that's your natural hair. And I'm like, yeah.
So how have you been spending the last couple of months, Janet?
Oh my God. You mean apart from getting fat and getting miserable?
Exactly the same as me, yeah.
Yeah. basically, nothing's really changed for me. A lot of my life is online. Like I run the YouTube channel, I do online shows. I'm pretty present on basically all social media. Mm-hmm. So like my only difference was that, like, you know, the gyms and the cinema shot, and I was like, oh, my illusion of a life is gone. So that went. But basically I was obviously supposed to be starting like this new phase of my release where, you know, you start doing shows, you start doing launch nights and meeting fans again and actually playing the music live. And then the universe was like, I know you waited 5 years to put this album out, but
now it's not your time.
No, it's been great.
I mean, that is like the funny thing, because that's one, like, yeah, for people in the music industry, this is can be problematic, right? It's the same thing.
Yeah, I think it mostly hit, you know, because I've kind of made my life digital anyway, but like it hit more like my musicians, or like, you know, you see an artist play live and you think, oh yeah, just the artist, but you forget about the guitar player, the drummer, the engineer, like all these people that are taking on the road constantly, like that's their bread and butter, and like that's gone. So that's crazy.
That's the thing. I do find it crazy as well that I found that a lot of artists were actually planning to release their music at the same time.
Yeah.
And then magically we'll go into lockdown and it's like, what do you do now? So are you doing anything sort of to help promote your music and stuff now, like using Instagram? Are you doing lives? Are you doing sort of like anything else to help?
Literally the same old things. Yeah. I've actually, do you know what the only surprising one is doing a Facebook live, because like, I don't like Facebook. Ah. It's because
understand.
My audience on Facebook tends to be older and like angry. Like the amount of Karens that comment on my post going, oh my God, put some more clothes on, or are you trying to impress? I'm like, Karen, shut up. I don't care. I really, really don't. But obviously I'm trying to sell something. So I'm like, Karen, what's up? How are you?
Don't love the comment, butt. Karen.
Yeah. Oh, I like that you don't like me. It's fine. You know, just that's my only real difference. Like everything else I already do, you know, anyway. Like I'm always doing lives on like Instagram or like YouTube or I'm pretty regular with just like being on the internet. So like that kind of stuff hasn't really changed. But I suppose the only thing that's different this time, or different even from when lockdown started to now, is obviously, you know, things like Black Lives Matter. That for me was probably, that was happening a few days before my album dropped. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I was like, I don't want to seem tone deaf, especially since I'm a big supporter of it. I think obviously the world's going to have to like, the world's going to be broken by the end of Corona anyway. We're going to have to rebuild society. So it's like, how about we just rebuild not a racist one?
what a concept.
I know, right? So that makes me really happy. So I was trying really hard to just like not deny the people who worked really hard on this record. You know, obviously I did, but like there's like sound engineers, like other writers, like people that have like invested their time into this album, not just myself. Who I didn't want to deny them maybe a little bit more money from a few more sales or something like that, you know? And especially with the book and stuff, like the publisher, I have to try and keep them happy as well. So it was really trying to negate this new territory of like, please know that I'm really supportive, but please don't, I've got to eat food.
I think people do understand the difference and they get the nuance. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, you're an independent artist, you're trying to like really push your stuff, you want to do what you want to do, and I think people understand that, you know, don't think anyone's going to hold it against you.
I really hope so.
Obviously, actually, you mentioned Black Lives Matter, there's been, your series of X Factor seems to have come under particular like interest, doesn't it, because of what Misha B has said, and what have you made of that, and do you have any insight at the time to what was going on then?
It's hard to think back to those times only because everybody had their own heads up their own butts. You know what I mean? You're obviously trying to like, I was falling apart. You know, I was trying to not kill myself half the time. So like my mind was occupado. However, I did remember, because we were really good friends and I loved her to pieces. And the reason why I loved her was like, she was like, out of everybody there, all she wanted to do was burn people up, lift people up. And like support them, and like she's a God woman and I'm a God woman, so she'd always just be like, you know, the good Lord's walking you down, and I'm just like, I appreciate you so much. I loved her, she always stood up for me, and I really appreciate it, because at the time I was so afraid of everything, I was constantly having panic attacks, so like I couldn't speak up for myself, and she spoke for me sometimes, and I freaking love her to death for that, for my whole life. And then to, you know, find out like how she saw her experience on the show as well, like I didn't know that she was also suicidal during the show, you know what I mean, like I never would have thought that. And it was really annoying to, for me, the biggest annoyance for me during that show was always, why is she, you know, in the bottom two whenever she's like the best vocalist here, she's actually doing something different, she's rapping on songs, which is original content, like why aren't people getting this, why? It used to frustrate me so hard because I was her biggest fan. So it just bothered me. I didn't think so much of the possibility of it maybe being racist, like racially motivated. But I suppose like when I think that was naivety, like I literally came from a small town in Ireland thrown on the television, like there's like I'd never really seen racial issues because of the lack of diversity and races where I come from, like everybody looks like white bread. So like that was, I'd never seen it, so I didn't even think to see it that way at the time. That's my own naivety. So I just definitely remember being annoyed with people saying, oh, you're so feisty, you're so this, you're so that. And it's like, yeah, but like, it's called a stage persona, my guys.
And also, that's the whole, the X Factor is trying to like, well, the idea was at least to try and help you like curate that, right? Like try and curate whatever your persona was on stage.
And like, she was the only person who was doing original stuff, knew her own style, like her dress style killed it all the time, like it was actually, she knew what she wanted, and for me that's like, when I look back I'm like, that's a ready-made artist, that girl knows who she is, knows what she wants, and writes music. What's going on here? I definitely remember being very upset when they accused her of being a bully, obviously for the fact that, like, I knew who was bullying that year.
Yeah. I was like,
want to name any names?
No, but I was just like, you got the wrong guy. So that was heartbreaking, obviously, to see, because, like, like I said, she was like one of the good guys.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely. And you mentioned your difficulties on the show. How did you manage to deal with them? You know,
I've always had a broken brain, so I'll stand up and say that before even television happened. I was self-harming by the age of 12, and I was an anorexic by age 14. So, like, I was not on a good trajectory, right? I did TV, and my suicidal ideations kind of flared up about halfway through. And then whenever they got really serious, I told a runner, or, like, you know, the people that look after you, and I was like, hey, I'm kind of like, I need to talk to somebody. Like, I'm broken. And then within 24 hours, I was literally in Harley Street with a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and a doctor. I was medicated within that 24 hours. And it was like, oh, cool.
So you actually think they did the right thing by you, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I definitely know that some people are like, oh, I was suffering and nothing was done. And I'm like, yeah, but did you ask, though? Did you ask? Because I actually had, I remember anybody who was getting help in my year, everyone asked. It wasn't just assumed that you needed help, especially considering it was 10 years ago. The vocabulary for how we talk about mental health now versus then is very different. And if you didn't reach out then, you were never going to get it. It was never like a, hey, want to talk to somebody?
Yeah.
Like how it might be now. It wasn't like that.
What was it about the show that sort of made it flare up? What was it like, sort of like, did you get trolling, or was it just like the anxiety of going on stage? What sort of was it that made it flare up?
There was a lot of things going on. I was in an abusive relationship, emotionally abusive, not physically. Yeah. That was really horrible. But I think for me, it was kind of the opposite. I mean, obviously I was getting hit, but like I was under no duress that like people were going to like me when I did television, because I hated myself. So I think what really made it flare up was like I was living in a fairy tale land in my head where I believed that I was the worst, most vile, most disgusting human being who ever existed. And then whenever I would leave a studio or something and people were like, oh my God, Janet, I love you. I was like, what is, the world's broken. Society's not real. It just messed with my head. I thought the whole world was in on this joke that I wasn't involved in, and that secretly behind my back everybody was laughing at me and tearing me apart. And they weren't, obviously. But like that taught me that I really needed to work on myself, because as well, like the main person in my bubble was my ex-boyfriend, who was like, yeah, you're not that special. Your voice isn't that good. And I'm like, preach, you're telling the truth. You're the only one who's like getting it, you know? So that really, really didn't help. So that led me to a lot of toxic thinking.
You know? And you're feeling better now? It's 10 years
old. Oh my God, I love myself.
Yeah.
I'm so chill with myself. I'm like, I don't even know how to explain it to people, because I know when you say, oh, I love myself, to people, they're like, all right, calm down. I'm like, no, like, I love myself for, like, who I am, flaws and all. Like, I don't really give a crap. I had to be my own best friend, especially considering how much time as an artist you spend on your own or in your own head. It's like, dude, I'm sorry. We got to be friends. I don't make the rules. So I did. And my life has just been so different since I made the change, like, 5 years ago to start, you know, learning how to accept myself mainly.
And was that through therapy or just like to do self-help, or what was it, just a process?
That was, so 5 years ago I got into recovery for alcohol, and obviously you think like 1 or 2 months in you're like, I've got this down, I'm not drinking anymore. And then they're like, have you heard of emotional sobriety? And you're like, oh God, what's that? Which obviously is that whole part where you're like, alcohol is not your issue, you're your issue. I'm like, no.
Not another thing.
Exactly. So after that, like, I did stay sober for basically 3.5 years, and then I relapsed. And with that relapse, it wasn't a bad relapse or anything like that. Mm. It was just like a, it was more what the relapse symbolized to me. I was like, clearly we've not addressed any of the issues that are really going on. So I signed myself up for rehab for a month, had the time of my life. And
most people don't say that about rehab.
Yeah, because they don't want to get sober. I'm like, hey, I'm ready to get sober. Who's with me? Anyone? Cool. So I had the most fun time of my life. And it was just great to be able to obviously log off of social media and things. But also the main aim of the game in the month was just like, hey, time to deal with your bullcrap right now, Dean. Let's sit down and do this.
And is that what you've done? Is that what you've done with this new music? Is that kind of how you've kind of processed everything?
Yeah. So writing the book was probably like the hardest part about it.
Yeah.
The first the five chapters that were the really dark ones. So like, you know, the anorexia or the self-harm or eating disorders or anything like that, they were really easy to write. Because it was very easy to get back in touch with that pain and that self-hatred. But I had to be very careful, obviously. I had to choose when to engage with those kinds of feelings again. I took myself on lots of safety walks where it was like, hey, we spent the whole day talking about slicing our wrists. Let's go for a walk and get some nice dinner. I know it's a lot, but it was, everyone was always like, "Why? Like, was it not relieving to do it?" Not at the time. Like when it dropped, I was like, oh, I'm free.
These
problems are not mine anymore. Have them. So the process itself, very hard, but the reward now is definitely, like, I did it to help myself because of that belief of, like, once you put it out there, it's not yours. But I've had this beautiful, happy consequence of especially young women and young men and things just, like, reaching out to me and being like, you know, thank you so much for writing your story. I feel less alone. I related to this or I related to that. And it breaks my heart. But I'm just so glad that they have somebody to make them feel a little bit normal, because I definitely remember when I got sober in particular, the only person I had to look up to was Russell Brand, and don't get me wrong, love him, but as a 20-year-old female, I'm like, anyone else?
Yeah Someone you can relate to a little bit more. Yes, I can understand that.
Yeah, a bit closer in age, maybe my own gender, I don't know. So I definitely, I love that, you know, it's made people start talking about their stuff that they're going through, because they're like, I didn't realize I was feeling that way.
And that's a really great legacy to leave people, like, you know, like to be able to do that. Yeah, definitely. You should be very proud of yourself, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's just weird. It's funny, though. It's just like, it's so selfish. I'm like, I want to get rid of my stuff.
Oh, please. So the new music, when can we hear it? Where was it going to be? What is it?
It's out. It's ready to rock and roll. Anybody can listen to it anytime. I always get the, where can I get it? I'm like, where do you usually buy your music?
Everywhere.
Because it's there. The difference really is always that I say, like, you can get it anywhere you buy music, but if you wanted, like, a signed version, I would go to my web store, because, like, I set up the signed book and I have the signed album there. So that's amazing. Where all the personal things are.
Right, okay, the merch.
Merch.
Well, that's really good. I'm super pleased that things have gone so well for you, because as we've seen with X Factor, it's not always a guarantee. So Janet, thanks so much for speaking to us this evening. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much
for your time. And really appreciate it.
Next time we can be in the studio, please do come in. It'd be great to see you.
Yes, definitely.
Oh my god, absolutely. I'd love that.
Amazing.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Janet.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Sun is rising in the city. Feeling dizzy, don't look down, 'cause you're ready now. Feeling nervous, but you can do this. This is a place with no excuses. Don't back down, 'cause you're ready.
city, filtering through your veins. There's no more limit. Look to the sky. This town has no ceiling.
Just very inspirational, I feel.
She's so inspirational. I feel like if someone, because she's got sort of, the good thing about, she's got the autobiography that's all about like her life, and a lot of people prefer to read books, but then you've got the other side of it where people listen to music to relate as well. So she's got both of it at both sides where people can just relate to both. But yeah, it was great to have her on.
Covering the
and,
bases.
Yeah, and I think we have our next guest, Biggs Chris from Love Island.
Hello.
Hey!
Oh! How are you? Topless, Biggs. I don't think Rebecca's going to be okay with this.
I was going to take my shorts off.
I didn't realise it was this kind of camera show. Okay, well, this is just a different...
Magic mic, a free one. It's brilliant. So how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, we're good.
Really good, really good. Please have you on.
Yeah, how you been finding lockdown?
It's been hard, but it's good now.
Why now?
Yeah, why now?
I feel like people are they're more active now. You know what I mean? Like people are, like, it's a bit eased off.
Yeah, it's not as tense, is it? Like when you go to Tesco, that everyone's not literally like this. Everyone's a bit like freely walking past each other, and the parks are nice and full as well.
And I went shopping for the first day, man, in 3 months.
Where?
Flannels.
Oh, stunning. Did you get anything?
It was good.
Biggs, you're a man of many words.
You know
what? So it's kind of weird because I met you when I just came out of the villa.
Yeah, I know.
So what made you, obviously you're friends with Anton, what sort of made you go into Love Island?
So the fact they messaged me on Instagram if I wanted to audition. So I was like, why not? Fuck it. Oh shit, can I swear here now?
Yeah, you can.
Can I? Oh, I can't.
You can.
Yes.
Fuck. I'm joking. Sorry, guys, sorry.
What was sort of Anton's like? Was Anton a bit like, oh my God, I didn't expect you to? Or was Anton like, yeah, you're definitely the type of friend to go on it as well?
The thing is, like, I never told anyone.
So you just appeared on TV and Anton was like, I didn't even know this was happening.
The thing is, I wanted my boys to be like, because I told them I'm away to a funeral with my mom. Yeah, I told them. Because I just wanted it, like, I just wanted the full effect. Like, they're watching TV, they spoke to me like 3 days ago, then boom, I'm there.
Yeah, to be fair, I didn't tell any of my friends. But if one of my friends has been on Love Island, I'd tell them definitely, just to be like, look, I'm just going on it, just informing you.
See, I never, because I just wanted my boys to be like so shocked and like, I don't know, I just wanted to shock them, you get me?
Yeah, I was like that.
To be like hella surprised, but.
And what was your experience of Casa Amor? Obviously, I was in Casa Amor. How did you find it?
You know what? It was good, but I'll be honest, I felt a little bit bored in the villa.
I'm not bored?
Yeah, I get where you're going with this. Yeah.
I felt a bit bored because, I don't know, like, I'm like active. Even though it might not seem like it when you watch it, but I felt a bit bored.
No, but
I'm happy I done it.
Yeah, I think it's more because you've got to... I am not used to talking about feelings. I'm not used... I can't be bothered to talk about my feelings. But in Love Island, you have to express how you feel to the audience.
Yeah.
And obviously with the person you're coupled up with. So it's like constantly talking about how you feel. And I'm like, I'm done now. I don't want to talk about how I feel. I just want to do something stupid.
Yeah. And the thing about me is, when I'm with a girl, I love knowing about her family. You get me? I'm not the type to say much about myself. I'm just always intrigued like about other people, so yeah. I kind of struggled, but it was good. I'm happy I done it.
Yeah,
well, it's led you to find love now, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a the madness. Yeah, Rebecca,
how's that going?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's so far so good. Like the thing is, everyone in the villa like when I came out, they all knew that was going to happen. But I've always liked her, but I didn't get any signs from her.
Yeah. Because it's such a shame. I said to Rebecca as well, like, it would have been so nice if we saw some sort of, like, really close, even friendship going on between you two. But when it come out in the press and, like, you were together, we were like, I was like, where on earth did that come from? So, but, I mean, we can't see everything, but it would have been really nice and a nice little, like, sort of build-up, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's funny because in the villa, like, if we were in a group, I would try to say things or, like, make a joke, whatever, and hoping she would laugh, you get me? But they all seen it, but they never talk, like... I'm not in touch with my feelings, you get me? Like, I don't sit back and think, oh, Bex, how do you feel about it? You get me? I just go with the flow.
But do you think that may have gone against you on the show?
Definitely. I would have won the show. Nah, I'm joking. I learned my lesson big time.
What would be your, like, worst but best memory of being in the villa, do you think?
Ooh. You know what? The best was just waking up and like, wow, I'm here. Like, actually in Love Island. Because I love this show. Like, see, watching it. I've watched it for years. Like, it's my favourite programme. But yeah.
What did you think of Joanna when she was on it?
Nah, I think she killed it. She smashed it.
Well, she's been nominated for a BAFTA, so...
Well, not me personally, but it's the, you know, the recoupling scene with me and Michael. Yeah, it's that scene has been nominated for one of the most tense moments. Up against like Game of Thrones, I was like, no problem.
did it actually?
Yeah, honestly. It's wow. Good.
It was tough. It was that was hard. I remember watching it.
But yeah, the funny thing is, as Joanna said, this is the year. Maybe it could be the only time you ever nominated for a BAFTA, and there's no BAFTA red carpet this year. So.
Can't make the most of it. So obviously I'm gonna have to ask this because it's going around in the press and you can squash it here or elaborate on this. What is going on about you texting another girl whilst being with Rebecca? Oh. Is it true, false?
This girl, man, what a clout chase. Basically, right, it's a girl that anything I put up on my story, she like comments. So I've just been ignoring her. The one time I replied, I said haha. And then, what else did I say? Oh, her friend seeing my friend. So, whatever, long story cut short, we spoke like twice. And then she went straight to the papers. I couldn't believe it. Somebody I didn't even know, I don't have her number. We've never spoken on the phone or nothing.
So she was seeing your friend?
No, her friend was seeing my friend.
That's mad. This is why you've got to be careful now. And this is your little lesson that you've got to be so careful. Even saying ha-ha to someone could give off the wrong impression.
Well, if I ignore that means I'm acting bougie. So I thought, let me be nice.
That's a good point. It's a good, you can't really win. You can't really win.
Because I felt bad ignoring her. Because I ignored her before. So I thought, let me be nice.
Yeah.
Just make her day. But she ruined it.
Was Rebecca all right with it?
Yeah, I showed her all the messages. Like, she knows. Like, I'm not a bad guy like that. And I might look like a player, baby, but no, I'm guessing. But nah, I'm a good guy, man. Girls just use and abuse me. But...
Oh, you poor thing. Sorry for you.
Thank you. I like you, man.
How has life been for you since leaving the villa? Like, is it changed a lot? Or do you think it's like a bit like not changed as much? What do you think?
No, it's changed so much. Like, even though I was only in there for like a couple of days, but I just feel like I'm just so blessed. I just feel happy. Like, I'm just excited.
Are you a bit disappointed? Because obviously lockdown happened straight after the series finished, didn't it? So it's like you guys haven't really had the opportunity to go out and do the things that normal Love Island like contestants do.
I'm just so heartbroken. Like, it came to my time to do it, like, to get it, and then lockdown happens. But everything happens for a reason, I believe.
Well, I believe that the fact they're not doing Love Island this year and they're not doing another Winter Love Island, and I think it's only fair to give you guys your chance to actually, like, experience the event, experience, like, what it's like to come out. Because, obviously, you are going to have so many work opportunities, and I'm actually quite excited to see how far you lot get and what you get.
Thank you. I was so gutted when they announced that there wasn't another Love Island.
Yeah.
I was ready for tears. You know, I was happy. I'm going to keep it real. I was happy. I was, this is my time to shine. You get me? So.
I love it Steve, it's actually hilarious.
But, I mean, yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because it's not something you can control. So you've kind of had to just let it go, I guess.
I know. So this
What has changed for you, though? You probably gained like 100,000 Instagram followers or whatever.
I'll be honest, I was gassed at that. But the thing is, I came out with like 28 or something. So after I'd be coming back to like 500,000.
That is so funny.
how long did it take you to get to how many you've got, Joanna?
I came out on 200,000, and then by, I think after Sun, I was on 500K, and then you just build up. But it's always normal to lose a chunk. It's always, and then you gain a chunk from somewhere else. Like, don't be afraid of like losing followers, because you'll build them up elsewhere anyway. And I know that people are like, oh my God, I've been watching your followers. They dropped a bit. And then they're like, oh, now it's picked back up. And I'm like, are you watching my followers more than I'm watching them? Because I'm just like, my loyal ones will stay with me, and I'm happy with that.
Oh, exactly. That's the main thing for me. See, like with Instagram, I feel like I've always been that guy to like make funny videos or dead like active in that. So we'll just see what happens. We'll see.
Yeah, because you're with your YouTube as well. Did a few YouTube videos, I've seen. Are you going to do any more? Yet to see more?
Nah, definitely. This is just a start for me.
What are we going to see you doing? You should be doing workout videos.
I'm too skinny, man.
Oh, please.
I need to try to work out.
You did this and that was like a massive chunk, your muscle.
Well. I try.
So is there anything going on with you and Rebecca? Are you going to be moving in soon together, or are you going to taking it really slow? Fill us in.
It's mad. Like, I think it's been 2 weeks we've been together now. Like,
oh, you want to take that slow then?
We're just going with the flow. Like, I just love how we're just going with the flow. We've never actually like sat and spoke and be like, oh, so what are we, this, that, whatever. We're just going with the flow.
I think you two are so easygoing. You both got such that good banter. Like, I've spoken to Rebecca so many times now, and you both are so, I love you two together. So I really, really hope you two stick it out and move in together and see more videos. Especially these TikToks as well.
Nah, definitely. It'll happen.
Do you live near one another?
Like 2.5 hours. I'm in Glasgow. She's Newcastle.
Oh, she's Newcastle. Yeah. So is that, I guess, have you managed to see one another much during this situation? I guess it's kind of a little less intense now, isn't it?
Definitely. It was hard at the start. Like, it was kind of rocky because we won't see in a day. Now it's so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's mad. And also what's mad is your accent. I feel like I understand it more. I feel like sometimes when people have accent, I can't understand, but you've got quite like a clear accent.
Yeah,
I've got to just put it out there.
I try.
He's not got a proper Glasgow accent.
I do. Do you think I do, Steve?
Yeah, yours is a bit more, yours is a bit posher than that.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think so? Posh?
You're a bit more Edinburgh.
Ah, I thought American.
Go on, Stephen. Well, I was going to say, thank you for coming on, but did you have anything to say, Stephen?
No, that's all good. We're really good to have you on.
Oh, is that finished?
Yeah, we've only got 15 minutes per guest, unfortunately.
Oh, right. I thought you guys weren't happy, like a shit interview, but...
No, it's great. No, it's great.
This is fab. Don't have my
heart
one, man.
Oh, no, please. No, I'm happy.
Anyway, that was shit. Let's cut him off now.
Yes, come.
No, really appreciate you coming on, and I hope everything goes well with Rebecca.
I'm so gassed you guys even asking me, so thank you so much, honestly.
Oh, no, our pleasure.
Thank
really
you great. For coming on, and we'll see you very soon.
Always appreciate having a topless man on the show, so.
Come on.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you, hey.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, he's brilliant. Man of many words, but when you catch him in the right moment, he brings it all out.
I think
out.
I've got a bit of a crush on him now, actually.
Well, Stephen, you never know.
I think I do know, but, you know, let's...
Never say never, like I said earlier.
SGA, your favourite saying. I believe our final guest, Triple Threat, Matthew Morrison, is ready to come in.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm average. How are you?
Distinctly average ourselves. Absolutely average.
So average.
It's so great to have you on. Where are you in LA?
I am in LA, yes.
How is it over there?
It's beautiful.
I love LA. Honestly, I am the type, when I leave a holiday, you know, when I'm on vacation, I'm like, oh God, I actually can't wait to get home. When I went to LA, I cried. I absolutely cried when I left.
How long were you here for?
I think I was there for, I think, 5 days with a brand, and literally it was beautiful. We walked by the Hollywood signs, hiking, and there was loads of people with their dogs just walking. And I was just like, this is brilliant. This is beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And everyone's beautiful as well. That's the other bonus about LA. Everyone's beautiful, looking tanned, fit, the opposite.
You fit right in, Stephen, you fit right in.
So how have you been? How have the last few months been for you?
Honestly, it's been lovely. We've been thriving, you know, because I'm on the road a lot usually. So it's great to just be here with my family, very present and proactive. And, you know, it's really been lovely.
And how old's your little one now?
2.5.
So that's a lovely age to be spending lots of time with them, right? They're really growing.
Yeah, and deal with the whole, like, teaching aspect of it. So it's kind of great.
Yeah, that is the bonus. Yeah, of course. And you've been, tell us a bit about the Supply Teacher project you've done.
That was fun. You know, honestly, it was just a day out of my life, but it was something I really wanted to do, just because I do a lot of mentorship programs like around the country, sometimes the world, but just kind of helping kids get their, well, I did a lot of it on The Greatest Dancer too, you know, that was like a very mentorship role that I had. I love kind of helping out the next generation of artists really find themselves and find their voice. And that's something that's very inspiring to me. So I absolutely love it. And they asked me to do this, and I was like, well, I'm not going to teach a math class or anything, but they kind of let me go with what I wanted to do. And that was a little class about musical theater.
So did you kind of set up the idea? Did you kind of come up with how you would, because it's a dance routine you teach, isn't it? A little singing, dancing number.
A little singing, and kind of talk about how you sing while you're dancing at the same time, and just breath support and stuff like that. So it was, and you know, one of my big break was, I was the original Link Larkin in the show Hairspray. So that was what I chose to do. I chose to do the song You Can't Stop the Beat. And it was...
I love that one.
It's
really good.
the only weird thing for me was like, it was just me. You know, I love feeding off the energy of, you know, an audience or a class or whatever. So I was really kind of isolated.
I think that is the weird thing for a lot of people who are doing these performances on Instagram and all these kind of things, you know, especially, you know, actors, actresses, singers, songwriters, they're used to being in crowded rooms, and they live for the applause, you know, and they can't, unfortunately, there's very few people applauding now because you can't hear it.
Yeah, no, it's been a while.
Do you miss it?
My wife, every time I wake up in the morning, I was like, please just applaud that I wake up. She's there now.
He's awake, wait.
He's awake, ladies and gentlemen. I take a bow. Thank you.
What have you made of it? Because theatre is obviously one of those areas that's potentially really going to struggle. And I've got friends that work in theatre behind the scenes, and they just have no idea when things are going to go back to normal, you know?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the perspective everywhere. For me, you know, I think about the history of theatre and how long it's been around since like the Greek times, and we've been through pandemics and plagues and floods and fires and everything. So the theater will always come back, and the curtain will rise again. But it's gonna be a tricky time of kind of figuring it out. But I think once we figure it out, I think it'll be good. But
yeah, and what would your best advice be to someone who wanted to get into theater or performing or acting or anything like that?
Be good at it.
Great advice, Stephen.
That's a tough question, because I feel like everyone is so individual, and everyone has like their own kind of offering that they can give. But I think that's where my advice would be is figure out what your strength is, figure out what makes you shine, what makes you different as an individual. And then yes, put in the work and stuff to kind of work on your craft and your skills and stuff. But I think, you know, everyone is thriving to see individuals. Like, of course, I will get into different characters and become different people, but in the essence of it all, I'm bringing myself to the table. So I think really knowing yourself and figuring out who you are as a person.
Do you think luck also plays a big role in it? Because I do think because sometimes it's like people who are super talented just never get the break.
Yeah, the people who are not talented.
I mean, exactly. We're speaking to one right now.
It's amazing. I do think there is a little bit of luck, but I definitely, in the beginning of my career, it was a lot of luck. It was kind of like this one job that led to another one. But I think a lot of that goes with that is maintaining relationships and being good with people, being a good people person, and figure out how to kind of, you know, well, like I said, I one job always leads to the next one. So be a good person to work around, you know, be pleasant, and people will want to hire you more often.
Yeah, I definitely think, actually, Joanna, you should really take on that advice, actually.
Is Joanna hard to work?
No, she's intolerable. It's difficult. Yeah. Every day's a challenge.
Stephen, I'm watching you. I literally was like, is when you're saying that, I had to take a step back for a second then. I was like, what's going on?
No, I have to say, actually, Joanna, you're one of the easiest people I've ever worked with.
Thank you. So what would you say your most embarrassing moment on set would be? Because I know that, like, with me, if I get put in front of a crowd instantly, I don't know what, I just do the most embarrassing weird stuff. I just start, like, I don't know, like, burping or something, I don't know. What would be your most embarrassing moment, or sort of on set or on stage or anything like that?
Have you ever been in front of an audience and just burped?
I mean, I burped on national TV.
Yeah.
Of an audience.
Where would I see you, Joanna? Like, where do we know you from?
Love Island in the UK. Yeah, so
they saw a lot of intimate details of you that...
With Joanna, not that intimate. No.
No. I was like in the villa, I was like, don't touch me. But aside from that, I sung while burping, which was, I should have done that. But what sort of embarrassing moments have you had?
I think...
Any awkward moments?
Forgetting my lines, that's always like a really just like gut-wrenching thing. But that's the great thing about theater, is you're surrounded by people that, you know, everyone knows the show inside and out. So you kind of have to help each other get back on track. So I love embarrassing moments, because, and especially when the audience kind of knows that it's not supposed to happen, they kind of get let in on the joke, and it becomes this really memorable moment that I think is probably more memorable than just doing the shows from start to finish, you know? So I live for those moments.
I have seen that in theatres before, and actually I saw it in Hairspray, where someone forgot their lines. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it does make for a more interesting experience sometimes for the viewer, I think.
Absolutely.
What else have you got planned coming up? Have you got anything you're working on at the minute, or is it all kind of slowed down? I mean, it's difficult, right?
I tour a lot, so that's all been kind of put on the back burner. But honestly, I need to like find an artistic way to express myself, and it's been really challenging in this time. But I found a new hobby in woodworking.
Oh, that was not what I was expecting you to say.
No, I thought you were going to say painting or something.
I've been building a lot of stuff. I started out building a shed, and then it led to this whole roof, and I built my work table and workbench. So I'm really getting into woodworking, and it's very fulfilling. And my wife loves it, because she's just like, oh, we need this, go build that. I'm like, all right. I'm a lot more useful around the house.
Was there any inclination that you were any good at it, or did you just think, I'm just going to try?
There still is not any inclination that I'm good at it.
Just don't go in that shed. Just stay out of it. From afar.
No, so I'm figuring things out along the way for sure. But I'm documenting everything. So my plan is to kind of like build out this kind of YouTube channel that has a lot of my misfortunes in it.
That's such a your career has gone in so many trajectories. It's very impressive. Brilliant.
Always keeping it interesting.
Definitely. How did you feel about the cancellation of The Greatest Dancer? You must have been pretty sad about that.
It was a beautiful show to be a part of. The thing I loved about it the most was working with the kids, and just kind of,
it was really inspirational, I think.
Gosh, they're so talented. And I'm, you know, I've never been as good of a dancer as they are at the current moment. So it's just inspiring to see what they can do with their bodies. But, you know, I loved living in London. Honestly, that was the best part of, cause I've always been there for work and stuff. So it's always been, I fly in, jam packed press schedule, and then I fly out. But this is my family and I, we were just there for 3 months at a time for both seasons. So
you got to really experience it.
Got to experience and not be a tourist and really live as a Londoner. We got an Airbnb. We lived in so many different areas of London. So really got to explore.
That's great. I mean, yeah, I think it's a shame it's not coming back. But this is, I think there's going to be lots of TV programs that are going to be up in the air now, aren't there? That's kind of the thing.
I know. Well, I understand what it was, they put a lot of money into that show. Like, it was really well produced and stuff. So I think, you know, if, you know, you don't get the audience that they really wanted, you know, Saturday night's a tough night. So.
Yeah, it definitely is. And yeah, we'll continue to be on British TV, I think. And we can't let you go without obviously touching on the fact that Glee has kind of been back in the press recently, kind of, probably to a lot of people's surprise. What have you made of all of the attention that it's been receiving and all of the discussions that have been having around it?
Are you talking about like people
with regards to Leah and people's experience on set?
You know, I honestly think it's a distraction of you know, the bigger issues that are going on right now. I'm just kind of like, but I don't really comment too much on it.
That's fine. But, I can understand that.
It's going back to what I was saying, you know, it's just you want to be a good, pleasant person to work, to be around.
Well, it sounds you instead for your whole life, doesn't it? I think being a pleasant person helps in every aspect.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's about all I'm going to say on that.
Fine. That's absolutely fine, Matthew. We completely understand. The Celebrity Supply Teacher is coming up. I think it's at the end of this month. I'm not sure on the exact day, but we'll get that on the credits. Thank you so much, Matthew. Really appreciate
thank
it. Really
you.
Appreciate you talking to us.
Thank you. It was lovely meeting you.
Have a lovely rest of your day, because it's only early there, isn't it? It'd be like 9 a.m.
It's 10:30. Yeah.
Oh, 10:30. Oh, wow. You've got a whole day ahead of you.
The end of us.
Sun just popped out. Yeah. Joanna, you should be jealous. It's pretty beautiful.
I am very, very.
It's pretty warm here right now, actually. It's all right here.
We'll have maybe like 2 days of sun, and then it'll go. Yeah, that's go summer for you.
thank you so much, Matthew.
Thank
really
you
appreciate
so much.
You talking
have
to
a great day. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, he's brilliant.
I mean, and a very kind man. You can just tell, right?
Yeah, it was very soothing to talk to as well. I think I've had to knock it. Like, I'm very like hyper, so I went very Despite telling my fact, I burp as well.
I mean, I think you just can't help yourself, can you, Joanna? You like to talk about burps on the show. This is not the first time you've done it, I'm going to say.
But you know what? I just thought, Joe, rein it in. But I thought, no, I'm going to tell him, okay? So basically, this was my embarrassing moment on set, basically. Aside from the burping, telling him that I burp on TV.
One day, Joanna, we'll. I mean, to be fair, I've done some awful things on this show before, so it's absolutely fine. You know, I wouldn't worry too much. I've been accidentally rude to guests. It's just terrible. Like, the shame that washes over me sometimes when I think about the terrible things I've done. So don't worry that you just told Matthew Morrison that you burped on.
But maybe I'll just have to take that one in and just digest it over the next couple of days, maybe months.
Just digest it, but don't burp it back out.
Hopefully not. So when is Matthew's episode going to be aired?
That will be on Monday the 29th of June, and the show airs weekdays at 9:25 on CBBC and BBC iPlayer.
Amazing. I can't wait to watch. I think it'd be really, really good, and get my cousins involved and all my brothers and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think it'll actually be really good, for especially for people who are teaching their kids lockdown at home at the moment. So well done, Matthew, for taking part.
Amazing.
I think we have come to the end of the show.
It's been a great show.
Great show. Thank you so much as ever, Joanna. And we will be back next week.
Yes, and thank you to Stephen. Yeah, and thank you to everyone who has listened in. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.